Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we've been looking, well, now for 2 weeks, emphasizing the importance of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. As I shared on yesterday's broadcast, Jesus made actual reference to the Holy Spirit. His teachings seem to bear out the reality that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate from salvation. The Holy Spirit coming to indwell us when we are saved. He said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit?" He wasn't talking about good gifts or meeting your physical needs or material needs. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And as we look at the 10th chapter of Acts, we see something very amazing, because while this was a blessing indeed for the early disciples, all those gathered in the upper room, they were empowered. It was the very thing Jesus said, that's what you do. You go there and you wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent into the earth and has been with every believer. He is orchestrating, if you will, the end time events. He is being used to equip believers, to make them strong, because Jesus isn't here. I mean, He hears our prayers. The Father hears our prayers, but it's the Holy Spirit actually doing the work through the body of Christ. Jesus is our head. So I'm not going to take time to read that, but in Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 44, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles. Remember the story, Cornelius, he was a Roman centurion. He was definitely a Gentile. Peter had a vision. He had the vision of that sheet going up and down from heaven. And the Lord says, don't call anything unclean that I have cleansed. And so he goes to the house of a Gentile, Cornelius. And of course, the Jews did not do that. And so it says, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, he was barely getting warmed up in his message, the Holy Spirit fell on them, came upon them, if you will, which heard the word, verse 45, and they of the circumcision, which believed, that's the Jews, those who were present with Peter, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know that? The Gentiles, they heard them speak, this group of Gentiles, Cornelius had called his family together, they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In verse 47, Peter shows us that there are those who can be definitely baptized in the Holy Spirit before they're baptized in water. That was the case with them. But then the person should definitely follow through with water baptism. Amen. And then here is another important illustration, which I want to share with you. Again, if this was not a separate experience, if it was just, as some teach, you know, when you're saved, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, that's not true. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you, but that doesn't mean you're baptized. Just as the disciples, Jesus appeared to them, it just tripped them out. All of a sudden, he walked through, there he was. And he said, he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were saved at that point. This was after his death and his glorious ascension. He was there 40 days, seen of over 500 people at one time. So that's what all the Bible says. I'm not giving you the reference. But in Acts 19, verses 2 to 6. Let me read that. Well, the first verse basically says Paul was, he came to Ephesus and he found certain disciples. Okay, they'd been saved. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, either Paul was really confused or he had experienced that himself. Don't you suppose on the road to Damascus, he became a believer, all right? He was knocked off his horse, was blinded by a brilliant light, literally had an appearance of the Lord. Jesus, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Jesus himself gave him directions, go to Damascus. He'd already covered the other base with Ananias. He said, someone's going to come to you. And of course, it took him a lot of faith. He says, wait a minute, this guy's been really wreaking havoc with the church of Jerusalem. And he said, he's an anointed vessel unto me. And so Ananias had to look him up, and he went in, laid hands on him, the scales fell from his eyes, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. When I was first saved, I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I was with some mature believers. They told me about this experience. I read some things, and they prayed for me at a house meeting. It was a Bible study. At the end, they prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. I felt the fire of God go through me twice, but I didn't speak in tongues. I was much too shy and introverted a person. But when I got by myself, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you have a heavenly language for me. And so I started out very slowly and haltingly, but I, you know, obviously anyone who's had that experience, then you can pray fluently. It's at will. You're not taken over by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't control you. You have to choose to speak in that heavenly language. And, you know, the gift of tongues is one of the gifts of the Spirit. This is not referring to the gift of tongues. If there's a gift of tongues given in a congregation, I know you hardly hear that anymore. However, there is to be an interpretation of tongues. Those are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Of all, Paul said to prophesy. That is spoken in the common language of the people that are present. And at one point, he had to give rebuke to the Corinthian church. He says, you're all speaking in tongues at once. He says, if some unbeliever comes in, won't they say you are mad? Like, what is going on? And so, obviously, there is decency and order in terms of how God wants his church to operate. And Paul was very good at setting up guidelines. And he's, let me get past this, and we'll never get out of chapter 19. And he said, we never even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance. And then Paul said, John, verily, he did indeed baptize with the baptism of repentance unto salvation, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they were heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 of them gathered together. So what do we learn? Paul found these disciples. They were disciples. They were believers. They were saved. In verse 2, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, you know, no, we haven't even heard about what that is. He talked about John's baptism. And when he laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. So we see that speaking in tongues was the evidence, the scriptural evidence throughout the book of Acts of the baptism and of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, having the gift of tongues, that's why Paul had to correct the Corinthian church. It was like they were like a child with a new toy. We should never gloat or display this precious gift. And we're going to talk in subsequent broadcasts why it's so important. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit aside from just you will receive power? Obviously, we know it's an empowering. And if you don't have the right attitude, so many have been turned away, countless numbers from Christ, with that kind of attitude, or the foolishness, or acting in ignorance, instead of with wise discretion, I can almost listen to someone on television, I'm speaking of ministries, I can almost tell if they're spirit-filled or not, because you just bear witness, you can tell if they are filled with the Spirit. And I know in some places this is highly controversial, but it doesn't matter. This is the truth of the Word of God. And if you're sincere, God will lead you to the truth. And in Romans 8 and 1, for example, we are admonished to walk in the Spirit. What does that say? Walk in the Spirit, that we might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And let me just turn quickly to that 8th chapter. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I've heard pastors, I've read some very well-known pastors who have written books, they stop right there. Yes, thank God there is no condemnation, but it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, there is an entire chapter, they say, well, it's not in the original. Well, you know, the devil will do anything he can to rob us of the power of God. Yes, we need to walk in the Spirit. The entire rest of that chapter talks about that. Well, there is just so much to share, and this is a very important and critical subject. So we're going to continue on next week. We're talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the life of the church. He teaches us, leads us into all truth. I believe if we, as the historical church, if we would have done that, there would never been the false doctrine, there would never been the schisms, there would never have been the denominations. Do you think there's going to be denominations in heaven's, beloved? I don't think so. There's not going to be a Baptist section and a Pentecostal section. We're going to be one in Jesus. That's his prayer, and the Holy Spirit's going to do it. But there's a reality, beloved, and if you've been baptized already, I'm sharing with us so you can share and teach others the way. And if you haven't, I'm trying to lay in sufficient groundwork in Scripture so you can understand it's for you, that power of the Holy Spirit. Well, having said that, I will close for this broadcast. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.